But we now turn to WFPL's Devin Katayama as the testimony phase of Barbara Shanklin's ethics hearing has ended. The Louisville Metro Councilwoman is accused of several violations of the city's ethics code related to taxpayer-funded programs she created that allegedly benefited some of her relatives. Devin's been covering the proceedings, and good to have you back, Devin.
Thanks, Rick. Thanks for having me.
Well, let's go back and with a little history of the proceedings. This started with some articles that appeared in the Courier-Journal, right?
Yeah, Courier-Journal earlier this year, they reported that there is essentially $175,000 that over a seven-year period that went to the Petersburg-Newburgh Association. What the newspaper found was that about 80% of the checks that were being signed by that organization were actually signed by Shanklin. And, of course, this spawned the whole case and the whole Common Cause of Kentucky's complaint that was filed against Shanklin. And that's what we heard this week was the ethics hearing. It was over a three-day period that we heard testimony from various Metro Council or Metro Corrections and Louisville Metro Government employees about whether this was in violation of the city's ethics code.
And someone has filed an ethics complaint. That's what generated all this. Now, there has been this hearing. And talk about some of the programs that she created that are in question here.
The major one that's being challenged is this ex-offender program in which the Petersburg-Newburgh Association kind of oversaw. And essentially what it is a program that started years ago, and it was meant to employ ex-offenders. Now, what the records started showing in 2009, which is when Louisville Metro Corrections started looking at the program because they're questioning whether it actually was serving a corrections population, was that many people that were attending, actually, there was no ex-offenders attending. The sign-in sheets, which they started requiring, showed that many, often it was Shanklin just on the list, or Shanklin's relatives that were just on this list. Now, in the hearing, her attorney, Aubrey Williams, tried to argue that in the language, it just says students of the program, not necessarily ex-offenders. Of course, the whole idea behind the program, though, was that it was for ex-offenders. So that was an interesting finding, just the fact that this program was being spent, you know, thousands of dollars on this program, and it wasn't really serving the population at all.
One big glaring accusation, I guess you would say, is that she signed a timesheet for her grandson, even though at the time it appears he was incarcerated.
Yeah, and that's one of the five violations that have allegedly been violated by Shanklin, is that she signed Gary Bowler, her ex or her grandson's timesheet while he was incarcerated. During the hearing, Shanklin was called to testify twice. The first day, Tuesday, she walked out at the request of Aubrey Williams, who essentially told her to take the fifth, a broad overall fifth. And in the hearing, what's supposed to happen is that she's supposed to take the fifth on each question that's asked to her. She took a broad fifth, and when they tried to explain the process, Aubrey Williams just told her to get up and go home. And it was a pretty dramatic scene that first day. The second day, which was Wednesday, we weren't expecting to see her back at the stand. Of course, she did take the stand that week, too, and she did answer some questions. One was that she confirmed that, yes, it was her signature on the timesheet, but when they asked, she also confirmed that she didn't know he was incarcerated at the time she signed the timesheet. Then when they tried to redirect questions regarding her discretionary funding, which is behind the whole Petersburg-Newburgh Association, again, Aubrey Williams told her to do exactly what she did the day before and get up and leave, which is what she did again. But she did answer some questions, just not the ones that were posed. And interesting enough, in this hearing, the commission, the seven-member commission, can actually assume adverse responses to any questions posed to Shanklin or Shanklin's empty chair, as it were, in the hearing. So they continued asking the questions after she left, and the commission can basically decide what they want to make out of that.
And you have a piece of tape from the proceedings as well.
Yeah, the Courier-Journal was streaming the whole time for every single second of this thing, and so I have to give them a little props for streaming, because I wasn't able to stay there for 8 hours. so this was basically Aubrey Williams. Part of his major argument was that this was a media frenzy. This was built on the media and not on facts.
This newspaper here would have reported how the drive-by shootings have all but disappeared since she got involved in that community. Newspapers, the media here are not interested in that. Because it does, you know why? Does not sell newspapers. It does not pay for advertising.
Now, of course, there were some good programs that came out of the Petersburg-Newburgh Improvement Association. The ethics hearing isn't about the good programs. It's about a possible alleged violation in one aspect, the ex-offender program. So that was kind of a point maybe that the commission might look at and say, yes, there were good things. And in fact, the prosecutor, Jim Earhart, thank you. He mentioned that, you know, he mentioned that this isn't about the good things, that it's about the violations that she had.
Just a few seconds left, very quickly. When can we expect a decision?
It's gonna take a while, actually. Both sides have to propose additional findings or their views to the hearing officer, Ann Shadell. Ann Shadell gets a month to basically make her own recommendations to the Ethics Commission. Then the Ethics Commission has a month, so that could come by the end of February.
Devin Katayama, thanks for joining us.
Thank you so much.